everyone, and welcome to the Trade Addicts Podcast, where the first step is admitting you have a problem. Please welcome your hosts for today's session, Dynasty Outhouse and Brian Haar.
Hey, everybody. I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
And I am Brian Haar, and I also have a trading problem.
Welcome, everybody. I'm glad that we have Brian back. Last week was lonely and scary, and I hated every minute of it. And I'm glad you're back, Brian.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be back.
And I'm sitting here staring at our Skype screen. We don't actually look at each other because I don't know how all those other podcasters do it. To me, it's just weird to see each other's faces while you're talking.
Especially if you're not in the same room.
Yeah, well, if you're in the same room, I hope you don't have dividers up. That would be weird.
The little cubicles.
Ugh, I spend my whole day in a cubicle. I don't need another
one. There you go.
But I'm staring at your Twitter avatar, which if you don't follow, at Brian Haar FF, you absolutely should. But it is many pictures of Saquon Barkley in his Penn State uniform.
Yes.
Are you updating this to New York Giants uniform, or are you going to switch to a Pittsburgh Steelers themed avatar? I don't care if Twitter needs to know, but I need to know.
No and no.
Just going to leave it?
Well, I don't know. Possibly. So, Jake Anderson's the one who did my avatar. And he is...
At NFL Draft Talker.
Yes.
Everybody, if you want logos, he did the Dynasty Outhouse. He did the Trade Addicts. All of mine. Go give that man your money.
And he is absolutely fantastic. Best out there, in my opinion. And there's other good ones too, but Jake's the man. He does great work. So,
and great dude.
Yes, absolutely. But no, so I guess this can segue in, and I don't mean to toot a horn or anything like that. I've been
toot away.
So I may change my avatar, when we get into late June, early July, because I was fortunate enough to get the Scott Fish Bowl email the other day. So I am super excited about that. I can't even tell you. I'm glad I was by myself when I got the email. Because if my wife had been around, I don't know what would have happened. I was just super excited to get that email. This is my first opportunity to participate in that. And I'm very honored to be able to do that.
That's awesome.
So thank you. Yeah, no, it's quite an honor, and I'm very excited. So I may change to something Scott Fishbowl related, as we get closer, but no, I am not changing the Saquon, avatar. He will be always and forever in a Penn State uniform for me. Not because I don't like New York. I actually am planning on picking up a Giants Barkley jersey at some point here. So gotta wait till the limiteds come out. So, but yeah, no, I'll probably keep it Mr. Saquon in that PSU jersey. So,
okay, cool. Just because I'm sitting here staring at it, so it got me thinking about it. All right, so back to stuff you guys probably care about, not just stuff that I care about. Let's talk about some news. Mr. Haar, let me in on the fact that there are pictures circulating of Andrew Luck, and he looks jacked. Now, I don't care. I'm not going to care until I see a video of him throwing a football and it looking like an Andrew Luck thrown football, but I understand you have some strong feelings on the subject.
Well, I do. I don't know how strong. They're slightly strong, I guess. Well, first of all, I don't know how legit these pictures are either. I do think
they're on Twitter. They have to.
Well, right. Exactly. If it's on the internet, right? but yeah, Luck looks like he's been in the weight room. Now, obviously, pushing weights and throwing a football are two different things. And like you, I think everybody will be somewhat uneasy until we hear he's throwing again, and maybe not hear but see, because they said he was throwing well last year before they shut him down. So we'll see what happens with all of that. But I think this is a perfect time to buy Andrew Luck, especially in Superflex leagues. Obviously, those are what the Trade Addicts leagues are, and and I think this is the cheapest, I believe, that you're going to ever get this guy if he makes it back. and returns to form. And even if he doesn't, if he makes it back and is if he's out there to start a game at some point, his value will immediately be jacked up again, like his arms are in these photos. So, you know, for me, I mean, I'm not saying go out and pay what you would have paid last offseason. I think, you know, at this point, I don't think there's anybody that's going to pay that to acquire Andrew Luck. But if you can get him for a slight discount right now, I'd absolutely go after it. You know, it.
All right. So no, let's get specific. Let's say I have Andrew Luck in a Superflex league. What are you going to send me, and what do you think would actually get the deal done?
So I'll use this as a reference point just because I had a Luck in one of my Superflex leagues last offseason, and I sold him for 3 firsts. I wouldn't pay that today.
I hope not.
I'd pay 2, though. Yeah, really? Especially if I knew that they were probably going to be mid to late. I mean,
all right. Well, let's pretend we didn't do our rookie draft yet. So let's say one this year, one next year. What's your one this year going to be before you feel uncomfortable sending it out?
103.
Really? So 104 and a future first, you're fine giving for Andrew Luck right now? Yeah, man, you'd have that deal done real fast.
Yeah, I really am. All right, I'm gonna back up just a hair. Backtrack. Let's say 105. Okay. Because I would take both of the running backs. I believe that Darius Geis is still the clear cut 102. I know there's a lot of different opinions out there about him and what happened, you know, his fall from what was projected to be a late first, early second to a late second. You know, and the fact that he may not be a 3-down back. So I get all of that, but to me, he's still the 1-2. 102.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
And obviously Barkley. And then I would I have a hard time with that too. I would probably draft. It would be hard, you know, if I had Baker or Josh Rosen there, and those are my top two quarterbacks. Actually, in reverse order, Rosen's my top quarterback, and Baker's number two for me. It would be hard to move, you know, the 103 or 104 or whatever. With Luck's current situation. However, again, starting with the 105 for me, I would move the 105 in a future first for Andrew Luck. Right. I really would, because here's the thing. If he starts a game again, you're gonna
that's probably the lowest you'll be able to get him for.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I could see that. I wouldn't do it, but I mean, more power to you, man. So again, if you like Brian believe that Luck is going to be okay, I go float. Well, start with less than that, unless you super just want him, because I mean, I can't picture anybody not accepting.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a good point. I mean, I don't think that's where I would start, because you might have, you know, I'm sure there are owners out there that have him right now that are going, you mean to tell me I can still get a first for this guy? You know,
yeah, right now, 105 is Darnold. Right. I mean, you could still get a quarterback that will start in the near future, you know, and you might have Luck who may never start again.
Right.
So and even just starting with that 105 is a great starting point.
Yeah.
I
mean, and that makes sense. I mean, I can completely understand where you're coming from and that argument. Absolutely. It's just for me, I have faith that he'll come back. And if he comes back, you're getting a deal. I mean,
the second he's on the field, it's going
to absolutely. I mean, a lot of things have to go right for Sam Darnold to turn into, you know, 3/4 of the player that Andrew Luck is when he's healthy. So, you know, so I mean, obviously you're taking a risk because, again, Andrew Luck hasn't thrown for I think there's a counter out there somewhere. I don't know if it's like 400 or 500 days. So, you know, so, you know, and that's the other thing. I don't know if that's true. You know, you just don't know. I mean, last year they told us he was throwing, you know, and that he was going to start week one, and then he doesn't. And he sits out the whole year. This year they're telling us that he hasn't thrown a football in 500 and some days. I don't know. Is that true? Maybe. Probably, I guess. I mean, somebody, Bill Belichick probably would have a camera in there somewhere spying on him. You know, I mean, it would leak or something that you know, that luck was throwing. But, you know, I'm not 100% sure, obviously, but, you know, but yeah, I mean, that's just kind of how I feel about luck. I think he will come back. And when he comes back, I think even if he's only 80% of the guy that he was, I think that's better than most quarterbacks in the league. So.
Truth. All right. So let's get off a guy who hasn't thrown a football and move to a guy who is throwing a football, just apparently not very well. Reports are coming out that Patrick Mahomes is struggling in practice. Does this affect anything for you that in what month is it? It's not even June yet. In May, Patrick Mahomes is struggling in practice.
Not at all. Not at all. He's essentially a rookie, right? I mean, he played one game last year. He started one game. So he's started one more game than the guys that are coming in this year, Darnold and Rosen and Baker and all of those guys, Jackson. So he's essentially a rookie, and this is his first, you know, this is his first chance to lead this team. And it's May. I'm not worried about it. No. I mean, you're going to hear the same crap out of, it's actually refreshing to hear the truth about these quarterbacks because, you know, I mean, most of the time it's like, oh, you know, Baker Mayfield's turning heads and Josh Rosen's making every throw and, you know, Darnold.
Half the Dolphins are going to
right.
the Hall of Fame.
You know, I mean, but seriously, I mean, you know, this time of year, who the heck knows what's going on? So for them to come out and say, yeah, he's struggling a little bit, is that a way to motivate him? You know, is that coach speak to motivate him?
That's what I was going to bring up.
Yeah,
next.
I'm not worried about it at all at this point. Now, if we watch him in the preseason and he goes out and he stinks it up real bad, you know, well, then I'll be a little bit more concerned and want to pay attention the first couple games of the season. But I'm not really concerned on, in late May here about hearing that he's struggling in practice. I think he's got enough weapons on that team that if he puts it anywhere near a couple of those guys, they're going to make plays. And
you see, we're so connected. That's where I was going next. I know it doesn't. You said it doesn't affect what you think of him. Does it affect what you think of, I mean, like Sammy Watkins, who is like a fringe weapon? Does this anything change anything for any of these guys?
Again, at this point in the off season, no. If this is something where he's struggling, you know, here's the other thing. I don't know what that means. He's struggling. What does that mean? Does that mean he's struggling with the play calling and reading defenses? Does that mean he's struggling with, you know, accuracy? You know, what is it that he's struggling with? We don't know, right? So, you know, I'm not worried about it. If we find out later that, you know, he can't hit the broadside of a barn with the football, you know, then yeah, okay, I'm going to be a little bit worried. Maybe for a guy like Hill that, you know, is not a guy that's probably going to make a ton of contested catches. You know, I mean, he, obviously the long ball, you know, Mahomes is kind of known for his long ball. So I think that's going to always be a possibility. Just air it out 60 yards and let Hill and Watkins run underneath it, you know. But, you know, and again, if he struggles with that accuracy, then to me, the guys that are going to benefit from that are going to be Kareem Hunt and Travis Kelce. Because if he's not hitting guys down the field, then those guys are going to be the guys that he's going to be checking down to and making those high percentage throws to. But again, at this point, I'm not super worried about it. It's May, you know?
Yeah, it was just, it's like you said, it was nice to hear something that might be honest. I think it's just nice to hear something about Mahomes that isn't that he's just the next coming.
Well, and maybe that's another point. Maybe they're trying to temper expectations just in case he does struggle. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's they just need something to talk about, I think, is what it comes down to. And it's working because we're talking about it. All right, so we're going to move on and we're not going to talk about it anymore. But we are going to talk about Brandon Marshall signing with the Seattle Seahawks. RIP hashtag Darbo season.
Is Darbo season really a thing?
It's been all over Twitter. I don't think the Seahawks ever thought it was going to happen, but Twitter seemed to want it to happen. This is honestly something I kind of saw coming. The second he got cut and the Seahawks hadn't signed Dez yet, I kind of figured this was happening. Once Jimmy Graham, we knew, wasn't going back to the Seahawks, they needed that big body guy, which is a little reason I was hitching a finger onto the Darbo train, because he's a big dude. That's all he really does. And that's, they don't really have many gigantic men. I don't think Brandon Marshall is going to do anything. I don't think you'll ever want to start him in a season. Like, what's the opposite of best ball in a head-to-head? No, because that's still...
Yeah, just
a lineup sure. setting season, league.
Sure.
There you go. All right, I'm going to stop rambling and just move on. Yeah, so I don't think you're ever going to want to really start Brandon Marshall. But again, I think more than anything, this is something that just shows us it's another place Dez isn't going to.
Yeah, yeah. That's what's confusing to me about this. You know, kind of why isn't Dez? And I don't know. Maybe that's partly him. You know, I think he has in his brain the places that he would like to end up,
or the money he
wants to receive, right? Or maybe both, and he's kind of just waiting things out. The other thing that's nice for him, as he's not signed, so he's not required to go anywhere. He doesn't have to participate in OTAs at this point. You know, if he's not signed by camp, I'm worried. You know, I think he will get picked up eventually. As far as Marshall goes, it's like you said. I mean, you're not going to have a lot of confidence starting him in leagues where you're setting lineups every week. Best ball, different story. I think
because there's always the chance he can catch two touchdowns because that defense is going to be terrible and Russell Wilson's just going to be hucking the ball.
Yeah,
everywhere.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Graham was their big red zone threat last year. And for the last couple of seasons. And so, you know, Marshall does have an opportunity there to catch some touchdowns potentially, but it's going to be really hard to rely on that or nail, you know, keep another guy out of your lineup, you know, in order to put him in. So I'm not really overly excited about it.
I mean, chances are Marshall's on waiver wires. Are you even putting in a $1 fab bid to?
Yeah, I'd probably do that. I'd probably do that because, you know, I mean, for a buck, you know, yeah, I would probably do that just to see what happens. And then, you know, I think for me, too, the guy that benefits most from them signing Marshall is Russell Wilson, because it does give him another Absolutely. Guy that has been in the league, that understands the game, you know, that knows how to sit down when he needs to sit down and go when he needs to go. And, you know, so, I mean, I think Wilson benefits more than anybody else. I don't think that Marshall is going to light the world on fire as far as fantasy goes, but, you know, it gives Wilson another weapon. You know, we'll see how their chemistry is and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, I would place a bid for him. I'm not going out and trading for him or anything. If somebody else has him right now, I mean, I don't think I'd do that, but
yeah, you're about to get a bunch of emails of trade being updated and Brandon Marshall being on there. All right. Well, we don't need to talk about Brandon Marshall any longer. So we're going to get into our main topic, which we already kind of talked about. You guys didn't get to hear it because of my dumb computer. We are going to talk about players that are going to be free agents at the end of this coming season. The reason I want to talk about this is it's because of Jerick McKinnon. I mean, that's really like his value went bananas. I almost said nuts, then I went to bananas and it almost came out as nananas. But that's how crazy it went. Like, you can't even put it into words. At the end of last year, I was trying to sell McKinnon to a competing team on a team that I was rebuilding, and I couldn't even get a second for him. Like, that's how hard it was to sell McKinnon. And then all of a sudden, the season ends, and everyone's like, wait, he's a free agent. He can go somewhere right now. And then all of a sudden, he's worth early first. Like, there was 104s going out for Jerick McKinnon. And that's... I'm a Jet believer, but that's insane, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, so, like, you know, maybe you grab one of these guys that we're about to talk about, and I mean, especially if McKinnon bombs, people might learn their lesson. But if McKinnon goes nuts, then grabbing one of these guys might help you gain value in the long run. And that's what we're about, gaining value. That's what trades are for, especially during the offseason. Okay, we haven't talked about this on the pod yet, though I've tweeted about it a lot. Trades in the offseason aren't about positions. It's all about putting value on your team. Who cares what your starting lineup looks like in May? Just like we don't care what Patrick Mahomes is practicing like
in May. Exactly.
But getting to the point. All right, so what we're going to do is read down, well, I read down a list of all the free agents and fantasy relevant positions, and I picked out the players I thought were fantasy relevant. And we'll read down the players, then we'll pick a few guys to talk about. Quarterbacks was a very short list in the first place, and an even shorter list of people we would care about. The only two I was able to even think we might talk about is Tyrod Taylor and Teddy Bridgewater. Though there are reports of Teddy Bridgewater doing well in practice, so, you know, we can talk good about May articles now. Do you care about any of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, somewhat. I mean, I'm not, you know, overly, like, excited about these guys, but at the same time, in Superflex leagues, you know, quarterbacks hold value, and these are two guys that, you know, could be starters moving forward. You know, Taylor...
Well, that's what it comes down to. Do you really think that they are... Because, you know, like, Tyrod, I thought he was going to start in Cleveland for a year or two, and then they draft Baker Mayfield, who won't wait a year or two, I'm sure. So which means Tyrod's probably on a new team next year. Do you think he gets a chance to start next year, or is he just going to be another camp competition, which it seems like Bridgewater's heading his way into that career also?
Yeah, it depends. I mean, I think he should. I think he should get an opportunity to start. I don't think there are 32 other quarterbacks that are better than Tyrod Taylor. That's my opinion, but I don't – I mean, you know, he was serviceable in Buffalo. I don't think the guy they have there now is better than Tyrod Taylor.
Buffalo was the problem. Fair, in Buffalo.
Yeah, I mean, that definitely is – yeah, I mean, that's definitely part of it. But I mean, you know, Taylor, he's interesting, you know. I mean, he's – as far as a fantasy quarterback goes, he was a guy that you could play. I mean, you could play. He ran the ball some. I mean, he was never going to be the guy that won you a week. But
never lost.
Right.
Him,
exactly. So, I mean, you know, if he gets that opportunity again, I think he's going to start a few games in Cleveland. I don't think they're going to throw Baker to the Wolves right off the bat. I don't know. I mean, they could, but I wouldn't. I mean, Hugh Jackson. So who knows? But yeah,
who knows?
But you know, but so it's kind of going to be an audition for him, essentially, because he's probably not going to be there next year. You know, I'll tell you a place. This is really strange. This just popped into my brain. A place where I'd like to see him go is back to Baltimore. Because Joe Flacco sucks. Okay. He's not elite. He's
okay. Pittsburgh.
Well, seriously, dude.
No, I'm messing with you. Cause yeah, Joe Flacco's
Flacco
not good. Yeah.
Played all right in Super Bowl 47. I think it was 47. Whatever the Super Bowl was where they played the Harbaugh Bowl. He had a good game. That was. I mean, he played pretty well in that game. But literally, Joe Flacco's career is throw the long ball and get a pass interference or dump the ball to the tight end and the running back. That's his career. Mm-hmm. Okay? He's not good. I'm sorry. Like, Baltimore fan, come at me. Like, Joe Flacco's not good. And you know you would probably trade him for 27 of the other quarterbacks in the league. But I'd like to see, you know, especially with the transition to Lamar Jackson, because, you know, Tyrod is – I mean, I think Lamar Jackson is obviously much more dynamic than Tyrod Taylor is. But you can – that scheme, okay, whatever scheme they're going to work up for Jackson, it's going to be different from Joe Flacco because Joe Flacco is, like, the least mobile quarterback in the history of the league, or at least one of them. So – you know, the scheme that they're going to go to offensively for Lamar Jackson, I think you can bring Tyrod Taylor in there. And I know that they have RG3 too right now. But
Mr.
yeah,
Glass.
But you know what I mean? I mean, bring him back, let him be the one that works the kinks out of the offense and gets killed. You know, I mean, not literally obviously, but you know, I mean, let him take the lumps. So your future star rookie quarterback isn't the one getting hit all the time, you know, and doesn't have that pressure. I mean, Tyrod can handle pressure. He's been in the league for a number of years. He's been a starter for a number of years. Bring him back and let him start for a time and let him run that offense and then have Lamar watch and learn and step in, you know, 2 years from now, ready to roll.
Yeah, I think you're right. Like, these guys are both bridge guys, I think, is what it comes right down to. Bridgewater, bridge quarterback.
And I love jokes. And I love Teddy. I mean, if there's a guy to root for in the NFL, I think it's Teddy Bridgewater.
Yes, I agree completely. But I hope it's enough. I want him to get the audition that you're talking about Tyrod getting, which there's a possibility on the Jets where he'll start the first however until Darnold is ready. But, I mean, these are the kind of guys like A.J. McCarron was last year. You hold on to him, and you hope some QB needy team in a super flex is like, all right, I'll float you a first right for it, just so they can not be dead at quarterback. You pick up these guys for a hope and a dream that they'll give you a little bit something back, but I don't think you're going to get anything substantial for these two guys.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, their value in leagues you know, it's just not there right now, given their current situation. There's not a lot of people.
Yeah, one QBs, they could be waiver wire. Right. I mean, I don't think you need to own these guys in one
right
QB.
I agree.
All right, so let's get on to a much more interesting position, the running back position. Let's see. Le'Veon Bell, Mark Ingram, Amir Abdullah, Tevin Coleman, Duke Johnson, Ty Montgomery, David Johnson, Jay Ajayi. All right, so let's get the one obvious thing out of the way. David Johnson's probably
going
to get resigned.
Yeah, he's not going anywhere.
All right, and I think is an obvious thing, but I think I remember you not thinking it was obvious that Lev Bell is gone from Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the thing I can see two scenarios in Pittsburgh. One is the one that is a little bit more obvious, I think. You know, in that Pittsburgh doesn't re-sign him to a long-term deal. They obviously have already franchised him for this season. You know, they ride him into the ground this year. I think if he, you know, if they don't sign him to a long-term deal, and even if they do, but especially if they don't, you know, I think Le'Veon is going to get, you know, a ton of carries, a ton of targets, and they're just going to, you know, run the wheels off of him. So the other way that it could go, you know, they just drafted a lot of it will hinge on Ben Roethlisberger because they just drafted Mason Rudolph to apparently be the successor there. And, you know, Ben makes a lot of money. Okay. Lev makes a lot of money. If they sign Le'Veon Bell to a long term deal or longer term, you know, more than just a year, you know, if Ben isn't sticking around, then they have a lot of money, and they have money to pay Bell and a cheap quarterback in Mason Rudolph on his rookie deal. So I could also see that happening. It just hinges on Roethlisberger. And honestly, who the heck knows what that guy's thinking? I mean, last year he's retiring. This year he wants to play five more years or something like that. So, you know, who knows with this guy? He's one of the biggest drama queens in all of football. I'm glad he's my team's quarterback. He's a good quarterback. He is. He's solid. Fantasy wise, he's frustrating. But you know, as far as being an NFL franchise quarterback, we've been lucky in Pittsburgh over Ben's tenure. So not a lot to complain about on the field. Having said that, again, he's a drama queen. Who knows what he's thinking? And I do think that his situation will play into what happens with Lev Bell.
All right. So is there any place we kind of talked about this like maybe two episodes ago. Is there any place outside of Pittsburgh Lev Bell could go where his value goes up?
I don't think there's many if there's any.
I was about to say that means you think there's any because I don't think there's any. I think at best his value would stay the same, but I think more than likely no one's going to give him the work or the style of play that he did in Pittsburgh. I think he maybe not a big hit, but I think his value takes a hit no matter where he goes.
Yeah, I can definitely see that as well. You know, Bell's, it's so frustrating for me personally, again, Steelers fan and you know, this guy's – he's one of the best backs, if not the best back in the league. I mean, he's outstanding. He's an unbelievable wide receiver or unbelievable receiving back. He's a super patient runner. You know, he's super ultra productive. He's just a – you know, he's just – I don't know. The off-the-field stuff, you know, concerns you a little bit. He came out with a rap album and it's terrible. You know, and I like hip hop, so it's just terrible. that's all I can say about it. I don't know how focused he is. I mean, he keeps his body in tremendous shape and his on field production hasn't suffered yet. So it's a hard place to be because I can see a drop off coming, but it hasn't happened yet. And that there's a part of me that wants him to move on because I think the Steelers would be well served to spend the money that they would have to pay him, you know, to spread it on a number of positions across the team on the defensive and offensive side of the ball to kind of retool. At the same time, this guy's a stud. So it's really a tough place to be as a fan, you know, and a tough place to project his fantasy value in the future because you're not sure if he's going to be there or not.
Yeah, I was just thinking as you're rambling on about how great his body shape is in, or whatever you were talking
about.
He's
in tremendous physical shape. He really is.
I'll have to Instagram some pictures or something. But I was just thinking, if you're on a team that's not really competing, I think it makes sense to unload him to a to somebody running for the championship and get whatever you can, because again, if we're saying his value is not going to go up, that means it's going to go down. So get what you can while you can if you're not going to use him.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right, so let's move on. I want to talk about the guy who I think is going to be the next McKinnon. He is coming from, well, has come from the offensive coordinator who now McKinnon went to as the head coach. He's in a very similar situation where he shared a backfield and now we dream of him having one on his own. And I am talking about Tevin Coleman. I have been a Tevin Coleman fan since he was drafted. I was a Tevin Coleman fan when he won the Falcons starting running back job. I was a fan of Tevin Coleman when he bruised his ribs and lost his job to Devontae Freeman. I can't beat out a 96-year-old Steven Jackson. And I'm still a Tevin Coleman fan now. The dude is a solid RB2 and gets, what, 40% at best of the backfield? I mean, I feel like that's a pretty 60-40 split. So, I mean, the idea of Tevin Coleman even just getting the 60-40 split out of a backfield, no less getting, you know, the 65-70 that, you know, the real workhorses get. You can get Tevin Coleman right now for, what, late first, even less maybe, depending on if you're playing with someone who doesn't know about the whole free agency stuff, you know, raising values. I would be all over buying Tevin Coleman everywhere for a late first right now.
Yeah, I'm with you, definitely. His value actually over the last couple of weeks has started to rise. I mean, you know, in those of us that are deeply involved in the community and look at this stuff way too much every single day, you know, I think we've maybe seen this coming, the contract and this being his final year under that contract. You know, so there have been those of us who've been trying to buy as much as we can. It's getting harder to buy for the prices that make you feel really, really, really great. But at the same time, still, I'm with you. I would pay a late first for Coleman easily. I'd probably pay up to like the 108.
Yeah, I feel comfortable.
Yeah,
with that.
So, you know, and it's going to be interesting to see where he ends up too. I'm not convinced he's not going to be in Atlanta. I'm really not.
You really think Atlanta's going to pay big money to two running
backs? No, I don't. But I could see.
Oh, I just read tea leaves that makes you think that Devontae Freeman may not be in town.
That's kind of where I'm going with that. I don't know. I mean, I don't know the contract situations like you know, like a GM or anything, but I could see a scenario where they decide, you know, I think Coleman's going to, I think, you know, it has been a 60-40 or 65-35 split here the last couple of years, and Coleman's produced RB2 numbers off of that. I could see him getting closer to 50% this year. I really can. And, you know, so that they can see what they have. I mean, I think they already kind of know what they have, but so that they can see if he's the guy instead of Freeman. You know, Freeman.
But even still, really what that's coming down to is it's Tevin Coleman getting the backfield, because next year if they get rid of Freeman, he just has a backfield and doesn't have to move.
Yeah, and I think that scenario is very likely. I mean, he's either gonna get the backfield in Atlanta and they'll move on for Freeman, try to trade him or cut him or whatever. I'm not sure what all that money situation is, but or he's gonna get an opportunity elsewhere, in which case, you know, he absolutely can be this year's McKinnon, where his value in the dynasty community just absolutely skyrockets. You're already starting to see it go up. If he ends up hitting the market as an unrestricted free agent in the offseason next year, it's going to go sky high. So I hope that he is selective in his choice of teams. I mean, I hope he looks at the overall picture of the team and says, how do I fit in? Because with the right fit, Coleman's going to be a beast. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's talented. He's multifaceted. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can run. He's quick. He's fast. He can run with power. I mean, he's got a very broad skill set. So, you know, so it'll be interesting, and I hope that he is selective in where he ends up going. But yeah, regardless of where he ends up going, you know, he should get more opportunity moving forward than he has up to this point in his career.
All right. Is there anybody else on this list that you want to
talk about? Yeah, the one other guy on this list that I want to talk about, and
Amir Abdullah? Hashtag fear Amir?
No.
Yeah?
No, I'm done with Amir Abdullah. I know you're much, much higher on Amir than I am. If it was the Amir from Nebraska's senior year, you know, I'd be, or the year that he left, I would be on board. The Amir I've seen the last couple of years just doesn't do it for me personally. But, and I know injuries and whatnot. So
Detroit.
Yep. So, I mean, I get all that, and it makes sense. So, more power to you believers out there. But I am not on,
all right,
on that.
All right, let's go.
No, my guy's Duke Johnson. And it's funny because with Cleveland's running back situation, you know, they bring in Carlos Hyde, which, I mean, first of all, everybody's talking about Saquon Barkley going there originally ahead of the draft. Mm-hmm. They bring in Carlos Hyde. They still might draft a running back, right? They have to take Barkley, right? I mean, then Barkley doesn't end up there. Then they draft Nick Chubb. So you're sitting there thinking, okay, what is Duke Johnson's role going to be, right? And then there was talk about them extending him, and he's still not extended. But this guy, this is another guy that I think if he hits unrestricted free agency, if they don't re-sign him and they move forward with Chubb, because I think that's what's going to happen. I think Chubb's going to take over that backfield sooner than later. And I don't know what's going to happen with Carlos Hyde either, but if Duke,
I think he's cuttable after this year.
Yeah, I think he is as well. It's essentially a 3-year deal, I believe, but only, I don't know, but yeah, I think it's team friendly if they cut him. So, but you know, if Duke does hit the market, I think this is a guy that he's a very underrated player in the league. He really is. I mean, this is a guy that does a lot with the touches that he gets.
Do you think he's more than a third down back and slot receiver back kind of guy?
You know, I yes and no. Was that a nice cop? Was that
expand,
a nice cop out?
Please.
I think he can be Chris Thompson.
So that's a third down back.
Okay.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with third down backs in the league anymore. That's a legit position, but that's a little less, you know, shiny than what we were talking about with Tevin
Coleman.
Well, yeah,
Coleman. I wouldn't value them right next to each other either. I mean, I would have Coleman much higher than I would have Johnson. I'm just saying for a guy that people are sitting there right now going, what is this guy's role? Is it the same? Probably. I mean, I can't imagine that it would be the same. I mean, Carlos Hyde caught 58 passes last year in San Francisco. So he can catch the ball out of the backfield too. So, I mean, he's obviously not a third down back per se. He's more of a traditional runner, but you know, he caught 58 passes. So he can do it. Right. So I don't know what Duke's role is going to be in Cleveland. Okay. But if he finds the right team that is looking for that third down back and he has that role again, I mean, he was RB11 last year as a third down back.
Wow. I think I recognize.
So, yeah. So, I mean, so he's so, you know, it's like, I don't know. I could see him, you know, and same thing with, I mean, Chris Thompson's another guy and he's not a free agent or anything, but that's how I see Duke. I could see him in that role with the right team. And I'm not exactly sure. I don't want to go into that because I'm not exactly sure where I see that fit. But I can see him having an impact like Thompson has had in Washington. You know, he's another guy that before he went down with the injury last year, he was like, I think he was like RB6 or something before he went down.
Yeah, that unsustainable drive.
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, probably. But even if he falls off, where's he finish? Is he an RB1? Did anyone ever pay RB1 numbers for him? Did anyone ever pay RB2 numbers for him? No.
I guess not.
Probably not. I mean, there might have been a couple people.
Let's hope.
Right,
not.
Exactly. So that's all I'm saying. I think Duke Johnson, with the right opportunity, can be a guy that, you know, you can – he's going to be more valuable than his dynasty value, quote unquote, is.
Mm-hmm.
Or appears.
All right. So the only other guy I think we could care about on this list is Jay Ajayi. I don't think he's back in Philly.
Uh-oh. That was terrible.
You okay?
Yeah, that was terrible.
Is there an ambulance coming?
That was
for
terrible.
You?
No, there's a trade alert though in Trade Addicts.
Oh, let's all right. Hold on. Let me get ready.
All right, Trade Addicts 4. So let's stop right there and give a little round of applause for Trade Addicts for getting back on the board. So Trade Addicts 4, this deal is actually a deal that I'm involved in. So I gave up our boy Tevin Coleman that we just spent a lot of time talking about and Dante Pettis of the San Francisco 49ers, the rookie out of Washington, and I acquired Stephon Diggs.
Ooh, you know, Stephon Diggs, that gif of him chucking his helmet and just, oh man, heart eyes. Like my eyes have turned into the shape of hearts thinking about Stephon Diggs.
So this deal is interesting because this is one of those deals you were just talking about where it's May. Don't worry about your starting lineup. Mm-hmm. Coleman was probably my RB1 in this league, to be honest, which isn't a good situation to be in. I do like my team a lot in this league. My receiving core is just ridiculous. I have
Sick.
Yeah, I have Nuke, Michael Thomas, Diggs now, Sammy Watkins. I'm pretty loaded at wide receiver. Cooper Kupp, Robert Woods. I like my receiving core a lot. So hopefully I'll be able to make another couple of moves and move those guys around, pick up another running back piece here. But yeah, so that's our breaking trade that just went down in live time here. So
loved it. All right, but real quick, yeah, no, you were right. You said, I said before, you said now. It's all about value right now. Who cares? Who knows who's gonna tear their ACL? I feel like I just jinxed somebody. Somebody just tore their ACL right now because I said that.
Better not be one of my guys, buddy. Yeah, I'm coming through the mic.
Yeah. Oh my god. No. Just knock on wood. Hold on. There you go. Yeah, no, awesome trade. Both sides, again, he bought into Tevin Coleman either because he likes him as a player or because he knows in a couple of months his value could go nuts. And you got Stefon Diggs, who is my man crush. So excellent trade. And Dante Pettis, especially, we get a little bit of points for return
yards.
Yeah,
and I think he's going to be a factor in that for sure.
Yeah, so even if he's not quote unquote the guy in San Francisco, because who knows who is going to be, he'll get you some points. He could, because you know we start what 10 players, so you need wide receiver threes, and I think that those return yards will make him pretty solid. So good trade all around.
Yeah, nice, good stuff.
All right, but speaking of wide receivers, let's get into our wide receiver list of free agents. We have Randall Cobb, Golden Tate, Kevin White, Terrell Williams, Odell Beckham Jr., Brandon Cooks, Devin Funchess, our boy Stefon Diggs, and Kelvin Benjamin. All right, let's get these out of the way. I don't think Odell or Diggs are going anywhere. Minnesota has a lot of people to pay, but I still think they'll find a way to pay Diggs because he's very good. Do you think they go anywhere?
I don't know. OBJ, no. I mean, I think he'll be in New York. I think they're going to lock him up long term and roll with Mr. Barkley and Beckham for the next, I don't know, however long, 5 years at least. So
it's a pretty starting.
I'll say. So no, I don't think Beckham goes anywhere. Diggs, it's going to be interesting to see how they can pay him. I think they will want to keep him around for sure. And I, you know, from all indications, it sounds like Diggs likes it in Minnesota. So we'll see what happens. At the same time, you know, those boys like to get paid. So if Minnesota can't pony up the money, who knows? If that guy hits the open market, though, talk about a frenzy. You know, it'll be. Yeah, I'm sure he'll have a lot of suitors, so we'll see what happens with that. I hope he stays. I hope that he ends up staying in Minnesota and having a successful career out there.
I think Cooks is on the Rams for the long haul.
Yeah,
as
I
well.
Do too. I do too.
Okay, so let's go to guys that have a better chance of leaving somewhere. Terrell Williams, which his buying window sort of got a little smaller after the Hunter Henry injury, where Terrell Williams is sort of, at least in my mind, the next guy up. The second I stopped recording my short little podcast, I threw out many, many trade offers for Terrell Williams, hopes that either A, people didn't hear about Hunter Henry yet, or B, that they thought it was just a selling opportunity. Because the dude is talented. What is his nickname? The Gazelle? I mean, I was a big fan the year where Keenan went down 2 years ago, and Terrell was the guy there, and it wasn't just because he was getting peppered with targets. The ball still got spread around pretty well. He's talented, and I was begging the Seahawks to match the second round tender that the Chargers put on him, but clearly nobody did that. I think Terrell Williams is an excellent buy now. I still don't think he should cost you a lot, even with that injury. But I think he can go somewhere. I mean, I don't know if he's going to ever be, you know, a wide receiver one, but he could definitely be a steady wide receiver on your team. And again, like we were just talking about before with Pettis, you need steady guys. It's not, you know, you can't have six Odell Beckhams on your team, as nice as it would be. Who else on this list do you think sounds like a good idea to pick up?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I want to say I agree on Tyrell Williams 100%. I think he's an undervalued asset. And he is definitely the Williams to own in that receiving core, in my opinion. He doesn't have the pedigree, per se, that Mike Williams does. But I think he's shown that he can play in the NFL. And we obviously haven't seen that from Mike Williams yet. So especially also with the price tag, you know, I think Williams, you know, people are still hoping he can rebound. And Mike Williams, I think they're still, yeah, sorry, Mike Williams. I think they're, you know, people are still, you know, they draft, this guy was a guy that was probably drafted in the first round of your rookie picks, first round of your rookie drafts last year. So, you know, so, I mean, people are still hoping that he can rebound and get over the injury bug and make an impact. So his price is still, you know, it's not, as easy to acquire him or as it is maybe Tyrell Williams. But yeah, no, I for the price, I'm buying Tyrell Williams all day, even after the injury. You know, like you said, you should still probably be able to get him for a value that's going to be, you know, he's going to outproduce what you're going to have to pay to get him. So as far as other guys on this list, you know, I'm somewhat intrigued by Randall Cobb.
That's who I have my eyes on.
You know, this is a guy who 3 years ago was going to be the next coming, with Aaron Rodgers at the helm in Green Bay there. The injury bug hit him a little bit, you know, and then Davante Adams was drafted and kind of, you know, took a little bit. They moved Cobb to the slot. You know, so, but, you know, he also has produced, when he's been able to be out there. I think this year, especially, if you're looking for a guy to buy for a team that you're trying to win a championship with this year, I think Randall Cobb is a good one to go after. He does not cost what he used to cost at all, not even close. And I do think that this season he's going to have a big year, which probably means he's not in Green Bay moving forward. I don't know where he will go or what opportunities he'll be afforded. But again, this season, I think he's definitely a guy that I'm if I'm competing for a championship, I'm looking to get my hands on Randall Cobb at the current price.
Yeah, people are forgetting how well he did with Aaron Rodgers before the what did he break his collarbone this year? I don't even remember anymore.
There's been so many injuries with Cobb. It's hard to keep track of which.
No, Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, Rodgers. Yeah, Rodgers had the collarbone this year. Yep, against Minnesota.
Yeah. Is Cobb's value have a chance of going up if he leaves Green Bay, or do you think it never gets higher than Green Bay?
Well, I don't think it ever gets higher than what it was at its peak in Green Bay.
Okay, yeah, yeah. No.
I think it'll
never be that again.
I think he could definitely. I mean, if he has the type of season that I'm expecting him or you know, hoping and anticipating he may have this year, then yeah, I think his value will rise because I think he'll get another starting opportunity somewhere. I'm not sure, you know, again, maybe not wide receiver one. Maybe he's a slot guy now. Maybe he is, you know, second guy on the outside. I'm not sure. But I definitely, you know, if he has the type of year that I hope and expect he'll have this year with Aaron Rodgers, I definitely see his value going up in the dynasty community. He's not terribly old. I think he's 28. 27. Yeah. So, I mean, he's got some years left. So, yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see how he does. You know, I hope he has a big year. I've acquired him in a couple leagues for very reasonable prices. And, you know, so I'm really hoping that he has the type of year that you want to have on the last year of your deal. So.
All right. Yeah, I agree. I would go by Randall Cobb. I actually might throw some offers out before I put this online.
There you go.
Okay, so let's keep going down the list real quick. Golden Tate, I think, is a lion for life at this point. He's 30, I believe, and fits exactly what they do. I don't think he goes anywhere. Oh, man, positive camp buzz about Kevin White today. I retweeted that real good. He's staying late after practice, working on his route running. Nagy said he's looking
good.
Well,
there's no wind this time of year up there in Chicago. So once the wind kicks in late August, early September, I'm sure a leg will break or something. So, yeah, no.
Buzzkill.
Yeah, sorry.
I don't think there's any Kevin White buzz left. moving on. Devin Funchess and Kelvin Benjamin. I mean, the question is Funchess still part of Carolina's plan, and do we care that he is or not part of their plan anymore? I own a share or two. I'm not looking to buy or looking to sell him. I'm not really. Kelvin Benjamin might just get a ton of targets this year, because who else are they throwing it to? But again, this is more about next year, and I don't think either of them matter much next year.
Yeah, it's a tough call. I mean, I think Funchess, I don't know. I mean, that whole Carolina wide receiver situation is weird. You know, DJ Moore, I know, you know, has just been drafted and brought in, and I'm sure they're going to use him, put him in the game plan. But Funchess was all right last year. I mean, he was a good piece to own. You could start him every week. You know, he wasn't a guy that was going to, again, not a guy that was going to win you a week, but he was pretty solid and he had a couple big games. So I don't know. I mean, we'll see what happens with that. I could see them re-signing as long as he doesn't expect wide receiver one money. Big right. Money. Yeah. I could see him re-signing in Carolina. And I think as long as he's with Cam Newton, he's the type of weapon that Cam can utilize, a big, tall wide receiver that can go up and get the ball, you know, And so I of those two guys, I would definitely want to own Funchess more than I would want to own Benjamin at this point.
Well, I mean, you don't want to own 74-year-old wide receivers anyway, so you're not going
anywhere. No, right. And Buffalo, I mean, that's, you know, it's just a death trap for fantasy production, you know, for the last however long. Yeah, I mean, it's been just – I mean, outside of Shady McCoy – I can't even tell you who's been really fantasy relevant in a while up there. So Tyrod, and they booted him. So yeah. You know, I so it's just yeah, I'm not real hyped up on Kelvin Benjamin at this point. So
all right, yeah, so that's the wide receivers. The tight end list again wasn't a great list, and tight ends aren't all that great in fantasy, but there's still a few guys I'd like to talk about. Delanie Walker. The Cincinnati Tylers, Tyler Eifert and Tyler Croft are both free agents after this year, and your boy Jesse James. Delanie Walker, I think, is a goner, or he relegates himself to back up to Janu because I'm on the Janu train. I am acquiring him wherever I can, but everyone already knows that he's a stash for next year or the second half of this year. The Tylers, I want nothing to do with Tyler Eifert. I know you feel the same way. I'm okay with Tyler. I'll let you go on that little rant again if you want. Tyler Croft, I'm okay with. He was kind of Tyler Eifert-ish, you know, when Tyler Eifert was out last year. They don't have anyone else at tight end. So, I mean, why not? At tight end premiums, he's definitely should be on your rosters. I end up drafting him at the end of every startup draft this year because I didn't think they would even sign Tyler Eifert again. And Jesse James, I know, like, I hope the guy walks and gets a chance because I don't know why they didn't like him in Pittsburgh, and I am a Vance McDonald fan, so I hope he goes somewhere. All right, so you talk about these guys because I just went down the list.
Yeah, so Walker, same deal. You know, I think Jonnu's the next man there. Walker's been awesome in Tennessee. I mean, ever since he left San Fran, you know, he's been really good in Tennessee. You know, top five tight end every year since he's been there, pretty much, I think, or at least close to it. So it'll be a shame to see him move on, but, you know, I think that's coming. I think Jonnu Smith's the next guy up there. Tyler Eifert. I mean, I don't have anything against Tyler Eifert, the person. I think he's a good dude, you know, whatever. But my gosh, is he a frustrating fantasy own. You know, I've been off of this guy for years. You know, he came off of the big season where he had 615 yards receiving, but he had like 13 touchdowns. And everybody was like, oh, my gosh, Tyler Eifert, top two tight end, blah, blah, blah. I was never on board. I didn't see it. Caught a lot of touchdowns. It's a fickle statistic. You can't predict touchdowns. So, you know, I think he's played a total of maybe 8 games since that season. So, you know, the guy just the injuries, you know, just have added up on Eifert. I would rather own Tyler Croft at this point in fantasy leagues just because he's a guy that he hasn't missed time, you know. He's not really great, but he's at least on the field. So, and then Jesse James, you know, that's a frustrating one for me too, because, you know, in Pittsburgh, it's like they're always looking for the next tight end. Ever since Heath Miller left, it's like, oh, we got to get the next tight end. We got to get the next tight end. And I am excited about Vance McDonald. I think he's solid. And I think in that offense, he can be a really big weapon. But Jesse James,
I really thought Ladarius Green.
So did I. And then all the again the injuries. He had the I forget exactly what it was. It was a concussion, and they never were able to clear.
He went there with a knee issue and then got a concussion, and I don't think he ever recovered from.
Yeah, so that was a shame, obviously. And you know, McDonald, I think you know he I think he can be productive in that offense. But Jesse James is a guy that, you know, you want to, I mean, Heath Miller is one of the most beloved Steelers of all time. He really is. I mean, mm-hmm. you don't talk to a Steelers fan that has anything negative to say about Heath Miller whatsoever. I mean,
I hate the Steelers.
Yeah, I mean, the guy blocked. He made tough catches across the middle of the field. He would, like, get decapitated and just hop up and point. Like, he wouldn't even do anything. He'd just hop up and drop the ball because he's like, super humble guy. I loved him. I mean, he's one of my favorite Steelers ever. But Jesse James is the same type of player. The difference is he can't block as well. He doesn't block as well as Heath did, and I think that is a concern for them. But McDonald's not going to block either. So that's why I don't understand, you know, I mean, they traded for Vance McDonald. I think – I forget exactly what the deal was. It was like a fourth-round pick or something like that, I think.
That's not nothing.
He's – you know, they're paying him like $4 or $5 million a year. Jesse James, I think, makes like, I don't know, $800,000 or something. You know what I mean? So I just don't – yeah, and he's been serviceable. Like, he's been pretty good as a receiving tight end, and that's what they use their tight ends for in that offense at this point. So, you know, I don't really understand why he doesn't get the opportunity. But at the same time, yeah, I mean, if he goes somewhere else, I don't – you know, James isn't going to be a guy that's going to win you fantasy games. I mean, he's not a – you know, but he's serviceable tight end in the league. I think he should have a job for the foreseeable future. That's just my opinion, but –
Okay, I can't hold this back any longer. I've been excited about this for an entire day. This morning, Brian messages me, and he's like, I'm going to go on a rant on the pod today. And right away, I got the tingles. I'm just like, all right, this is going to be good. I don't think Brian has ever ranted short of his Saquon Barkley love. I didn't ask what it was about, so I'm right here with you guys at the edge of my seat. Go.
Okay, so first, let me preface this by saying there's not a lot that gets me worked up. I'm a pretty easygoing person. I hope that comes across in the podcast and in my dealings with people in the Dynasty community online and on Twitter and whatnot. I'm pretty easygoing. If I'm ever in a Twitter spat with you, it's probably a misinterpretation or a misunderstanding because I just don't. You know, the greatest thing about this game is that we all value players differently, and opportunity comes because of that. You know,
your last Twitter spat ended with the other guy telling you to have
yeah,
a good day.
So, I mean, you know, I mean, we love this game. We all do. And sometimes we get attached to players or we have, you know, I mean, I love Saquon Barkley. So if you attack him, I'm going to counter that, but I'm not doing it in a way. Hopefully I'm doing it.
All right. Come on. You're a good guy.
I
we
try.
Get it.
I try. So anyways, my rant today though is something that is coming up in leagues more frequently for me. And it's become more frustrating for me. If you get a trade offer in your inbox, respond to it. And I'm not talking about letting it sit for days. Okay. I mean, that bothers a lot of people. Life happens. Like, I understand. You know, you have kids, you have a wife, you have a job, you're in school, whatever it is, you know, it takes you time to get back to deals. That's fine. I don't have an issue with that. My issue is when you don't give feedback. Respond to the deal and give feedback. I mean, I get so many deals where it's just a reject, no comment. And I know, like, I'm not sending crap deals. I'm not saying that every deal I send is the best deal that I can send. I'm not saying that I'm beyond making a bad offer. We all have made bad offers in our dynasty careers, trust me. And if you're sitting there sitting there thinking that you haven't, you need to reevaluate because we've all made bad deals in this thing, okay? But it's so frustrating to work on a deal for, you know, I don't know, however long it takes to work on a deal. Sometimes it takes 30 seconds, sometimes it takes an hour to try to get it right so that you look into the other team's needs as far as player goes and, you know, okay, how can I help this owner so that they'll be willing to give me the asset that I'm looking to acquire. And then you get an email back from MFL that says your trade offer rejected, and that's all you get. Guys, send freaking feedback. Like, I'm trying to make a deal here. if you don't, I don't care what the feedback is. It's, you know, if I am trying to acquire a player and I send a trade offer for a player and you don't want to trade the guy, tell me you don't want to trade him and I won't bother you anymore. If I make an offer and you think that the value's off, tell me the value's off. I might be willing to overpay for that deal or for that player, but I'm not going to have the opportunity to overpay you for that player if you don't tell me, hey, I don't think that's enough for this guy. So my rant today is just send feedback to your league mates. The more you can talk to your league mates and the more feedback you give, the more they understand your way of evaluating players, and it leads to discussion. And then when you get talking, you know, I might not even be looking to trade for a guy, but I hear in a back and forth with you, hey, you know, I don't really like this guy. Okay, well, maybe I do. I'm like, oh, you don't like that guy? Well, I'm gonna, you know, I like him. What do you see on my team that you would trade that guy for? And then we can, I mean, that's how deals happen. Most deals don't happen when you just send it over and they hit accept. That doesn't happen often. And here's another thing related to this. I've heard people say, well, you know, when I get the trade offer in email, you know, it doesn't give me the option to write anything. So I just reject it from the email. That's fine. But like, it takes literally 10 seconds to sign on to the MFL mobile website or respond to the email. Hit reject and then hit reply and send an email with some feedback regarding the deal. I don't ever – there's never a time. I don't think in the last – at least in the last couple of years, the last 2 or 3 years, I don't think there's a deal that I've been offered that I have not sent feedback. And – I understand that I'm not saying that makes me better than anyone or anything like that. I'm just saying it's courtesy to do that. And I mean, look, we play this game for fun because we love it, right? I'm trying to win, but I'm not trying to put one over on my league mates. I'm trying to make deals that are going to work for both myself in acquiring the assets that I'm looking to acquire, and I want to get you players that you want to acquire too. But we can't even – I mean, if you just instant reject and don't send any feedback, I don't know what players you need for me to acquire the player that I'm looking to acquire. So send some feedback when you're rejecting trade offers, please. And that's not just in the Trade Addicts Leagues. Yes, that it is in the Trade Addicts Leagues, and we need to work on it, and we need to continue to move towards that. But it's in all your leagues. Send feedback with these offers. So that's my rant. I'm done for that. But I just had to get that off my chest. It's something that's been bugging me lately. It's been happening lately. And I know, you know, we've all received crap offers too. I understand that too. And sometimes it's like, are you kidding me? Like, this guy just offered me junk for, you know, a second round pick for Odell Beckham or whatever. I mean, that's obviously beyond terrible, but you know, we've all received those terrible offers. It doesn't do anything to just instant reject or to just we're trying to build leagues where we have trust and communication and where we're all having a good time. And the more you communicate, the better time it's going to be, in my opinion. Right.
In the past, I've been too lazy to do it, but this is worth it. Hold on. Standing up. Standing ovation. That was beautiful. That was beautiful. I'm moved. Now I'm going to dig through all of my emails to see if you didn't give me a comment on any of them so I can rub it in your face.
Well, here's the one thing that for you – the good thing here is I have GroupMe to save me because we use – so our particular league that we're in together, we use the chat app GroupMe. So I may not have replied to the email, but I would have sent you something in GroupMe for sure.
All right. I'll let you off this time because I'm too lazy to look through all of that. All right. So that was wonderful. I loved it. That made me happy. And I hope all you guys learned something. All right. So we're running a little long. And I only have two trades I want to talk about anyway, so we'll go through these a little quickly. Since they're both my trades, I'm going to let Brian do a lot of the talking. We have an all Allen Robinson trading post section. Woo-hoo! This week. It's your boy. Don't just pick both Allen
Robinson. Allen Robinson's odd.
Actually, I traded for him in one and against him, traded him away in the other, so don't just pick Allen Robinson's side. All right. Trade Addicts Leagues, 12 team, super flex, point per reception, tight end premium. No tight ends. We got our tight end filled last. Oh, yeah, there's one tight end, but he doesn't matter. All right. I digress. Trade Addicts 3, Brandon Cooks and Juju Smith-Schuster. 4, Allen Robinson, Cooper Kupp, and Ian Thomas.
Yeah, so this is an awesome trade. I love both sides of this deal. I think it's about as fair as it gets. Twitter also thought this was about as fair as it gets. I think it was 54% to 46%.
That's exactly what it was.
So I personally would take the Allen Robinson side. I think I have him rated a little bit higher than Brandon Cooks. I know that's may seem crazy to people, but
I think it's playing out.
Yeah,
that way,
but right? I value Robinson a little bit higher than Cooks. Juju obviously is an awesome piece to own. A lot of people talk about his, you know, at 20 years old, he did what he did last year. Cooper Kupp almost matched him. Now, I don't expect.
Yeah, but at 27.
Correct. Well, he's not 27. He's like 25 or 4. Yeah. But yeah. I mean, and I don't expect that to continue. I mean, I think Juju will, you know, especially with Martavis gone now. Juju's the wide receiver, too, in that offense. I'm not sure where he's going to play exactly, whether he's going to play on the outside or whether James Washington's going to play on the outside and Juju's going to play in the slot. I'm not sure what's going to happen there. I don't care. I think this guy is a good player. I think he's going to get his. So now he's not going to be the unquestioned wide receiver one in an offense as long as Antonio Brown's around. But Cooper Kupp's never going to be probably a wide receiver one in an offense either. So
that's also just not his
right,
style.
Right. But okay, correct. Yeah. Correct. So no, I love this deal for both teams. I think it's a really good one. Very fair. I would side with the Robinson side on this one, but I think it's a very good deal.
Yeah, I got Allen Robinson in this one, so you're right.
Isn't it funny how that works?
I know, right? Weird, right? This was me condensing talent. I wanted to shore up my my studs, and while I love Cooks and Juju, I really love Allen Robinson. I think he clearly has the better chance to be a stud as opposed to Cooks, who it seems to be in his wheelhouse to be an up and down guy. And like you said, Juju's not going to be the number one anytime soon. And while it's nice to believe that the number two wide receiver on a team can be completely and always dependable for the next 4 years, I don't think that's the case, especially because we earlier talked about Big Ben, who knows what right. he does. So yeah, I wanted Allen Robinson, and then I got throw-ins. Cooper Kupp's not really a throw-in, but pretty much Cooper Kupp is a piece I plan on flipping. And Ian Thomas is, I mean, how much longer does Greg Olsen have?
Right.
Not, I mean, he's going to be in the booth soon, so I just a dart throw that Ian Thomas actually becomes something in Carolina.
I so badly want him to get in the booth with Jason Witten. That would be an unbelievable tag team.
Yes, all tight ends. Let's do it. That'll be the daddiest.
It would be a lot of fun because Witten's so serious and Olsen is so not serious. You know what I mean? Like they would be a very formidable. Is that the right word? I'm not sure. Tag team in the booth. I mean, that would be a lot of fun. So, anyways.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. Let's move on. Trade Addicts 2. This trade is Royce Freeman and Allen Robinson for Michael Thomas and Randall Cobb.
Yeah. This is another awesome deal. I mean, very fair in my opinion. And again, Twitter had it that way as well. I think this was 53-47 for,
you know, you say I think, but I'm pretty sure you're reading this off the sheet. Because that's twice. You got it.
Okay, so 53-47. Yes, I am reading it off of the show sheet. You are correct. So, so yeah, 53-47 to the Allen Robinson side. So I believe that Michael Thomas is the best player in this deal.
You're taking the Allen Robinson.
I mean, it's so close because I love Thomas too. But I really like Freeman. I really like Royce Freeman.
I really like Royce Freeman.
And isn't it funny? Another shout out. I think we did this last week too. But Brandon from DHH Dynasty Scout. Yeah. I mean, this dude is super influential. I'm telling you, like, he's in my head all the time. We had really good conversation on the show with him, and then, you know, after the show and on Twitter and whatnot. And Christian Kirk was a big one that day, and and Freeman is another guy that day that I think, you know, I maybe didn't look at him as closely as I should have, and now that I have. I really like him, and I really like, obviously he fell in like a perfect spot. So, so I'm going to say, and, you know, we talked about Cobb earlier in the show and the season I think he's going to have. I think, so this is a deal where I think this season I'd rather have Thomas and Cobb. Moving forward, I think I'd rather have Robinson and Freeman.
Yeah, no, I wish I remembered the conversations that went into this trade, because it had to have torn me apart, because Royce Freeman and Allen Robinson are two guys I've been fawning over this offseason, and to send them both away, I just honestly, I don't have a Michael Thomas share, so this is my first one. No, I mean, I've had him and lost him because of stupid leagues folding, but this is my only Michael Thomas share, so I'm sure that's what went into this, and because, again, I'm just firming up studs, and I wanted Randall Cobb because we talked about it before, why I would want Randall Cobb. But yeah, 53-47. Both of these on Twitter were anything that's closer to than 60-40, I call a tie, because there's variance in everything, and I'm not going to let 4%, you know, sway, unless it's in my favor, in which case, like in this one.
You were on the losing side.
I lost both of these Twitter polls. Then yeah, these are, who cares about 53-47? Who cares about that? Yeah, no, these were both awesome trades, and they were both fun to do, and I'm pretty sure I traded for Allen Robinson because I traded away Allen Robinson, which, whatever, man, go have fun, guys. That's what it's about, right?
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely right. And you know, I think the other thing, knowing your team in Trade Addicts too, I think this was, you know, you're going to compete this year for sure. You know, I like this deal for you. This year, you know, I think this gives you two guys that are going to really help push you to the cream of the crop of the league. If you weren't darn near close already to being up there, so that's me.
And you guys better shouting who you created
shouting
these
you
leagues.
Out. But yeah, no, I think this makes a lot of sense for your team and for the guy that you traded with too. I think it makes sense for his team too. You know what he's.
Those are two very solid. Very
yes,
young
exactly.
Players.
He's building a young core. You know, I think he's also going to be a player this year, but I think more so the next couple.
Not as good as me. That's what you're saying.
Maybe not this season.
Watch your step.
Maybe
boy.
Not this season, but no, he's got a nice young core of solid, really solid players that I like a lot. So. So yeah, no, it's going to be fun to watch and see how these deals end up. Working for both of you guys.
All right, everyone. Well, that is the end of our show sheet. So that's the end of our show. I'm full. I'm satiated from Brian's rant. I don't have anything to add to that. So yeah, man. See you.
Sounds
later,
good, man. Take care.
Whew, all right.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addicts podcast. Please follow us on Twitter at Trade Addicts Pod. And follow our hosts at Dynasty Outhouse and at Brian Haar FF. Remember to subscribe, rate, and review. Have a nice day, and we will see you next time on the Trade Addicts podcast.